Some major bills on Capitol Hill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Big doings in Congress this week. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid announced a public option will be part of the Senate health care reform bill. Senator Chris Dodd introduced legislation to freeze credit card interest rates. And today, the Senate holds a big hearing on climate change. Congress isn't the only one tackling big issues, though. The IRS is launching a new enforcement unit targeting the wealthy. Here to talk about that with us is our very own Ashley Milne-Tite. She joins us live. Hi, Ashley.
Hi.
So tell me, what is going on?
So the IRS has started this unit they're calling the Global High Wealth Industry Group. And the idea is that this group is going to work on kind of uncovering some of the ways wealthy people hide their income. So they're going to be scrutinizing partnerships, offshore accounts and trust and things like that.
This seems like part of the bigger crackdown we've been seeing this year on the uber wealthy, is it?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, earlier this year, a whistleblower at the Swiss bank UBS let the IRS know that a lot of wealthy Americans had accounts at UBS. And if you have an offshore account that contains more than $10,000, you're supposed to report that to the government and pay taxes on the income. But I mean, with these accounts at UBS, generally they had way more than $10,000 in them and no one was paying taxes.
Was that what sparked the hunt for offshore account holders?
Yeah, the IRS put the word out that it was really paying attention to this area, and they announced a tax shelter amnesty period that just expired earlier this month, so people could come forward, reveal their hidden riches, and pay back taxes. So anyone who's still keeping quiet about large amounts they may have stashed somewhere sort of risks a more assiduous IRS hunting them down. And they could end up paying huge fines, we should say more in some cases than the actual value of their accounts. And they risk jail time as well.
Ashley Milne-Tite, thank you.
You're welcome.
And the markets are having a mixed morning. Asian markets are down. Tokyo's Nikkei Index lost 1.4%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index fell 1.8%. In Europe, though, London's FTSE has added 0.6%. Honda reported earnings today. The carmaker nearly tripled its profit forecast for the year, much of that thanks to the boost it got from the Cash for Clunkers program. Hundreds of thousands of gas guzzlers were hauled off to the junkyard under Cash for Clunkers. Now junkyards say they're overloaded. Mitchell Hartman has more.
Mark Forkum manages a chain of auto recycling facilities on the West Coast that strip junked cars and sell the parts. What's left is crushed and shredded into scrap metal. Forkum says so many clunkers came in so fast.
Instead of the parts being recycled, the usable parts, they just went straight in the shredder and got chewed up.
And clunkers are still piling up. Some recyclers have thousands waiting to be salvaged. Under the Cash for Clunkers law, recyclers have to dispose of junked cars within 6 months of receiving them. The industry wants an extension to at least a year. Part of the problem, says Michael Wilson of the Automotive Recyclers Association, is that consumers traded in a lot of late-model trucks and SUVs in perfectly good condition.
The parts were a lot better quality than they ever imagined. It's going to take a while for them to pull that many parts off the Cash for Clunker vehicles.
Once the vehicles are stripped, recyclers have to drain the oil and antifreeze. They have until early next year to send the first wave of clunkers to the wrecker. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys, constantcontact.com. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
A growing proportion of the unemployed in this country is 40 and over. Tonight, Frontline takes a look at what the job market is like for people over 40. Frontline producer Arun Roth reports.
Deborah Bowles has been running her hair salon on the Upper East Side of Manhattan for more than 20 years.
Hi, Deborah.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Her clients are rich bankers, poor actors, and just about everything in between. Most of them are over 40. She says none of them expected to be struggling financially at this point in their lives.
Every day.
Every one of my clients sit in my chair and talk about the economy.
We lost a deal in Miami, which was not so good.
When we don't have a lot of money, I don't know how else to put it.
Last week, I had an unemployment check and two notices of foreclosure from two different banks on my home.
That was Scott Sambade, Emma Nelson, and finally Chris Calby, who at one time made a fortune selling audiovisual systems to big businesses.
I was very successful. I was successful beyond anything I had ever imagined, actually, and had built a company that was close to a $100 million a year sales company.
Calby had to sell his business in the early 2000s. He took a lower-paying job and was laid off last year. He's 58 years old. Steven Greenberg is the founder of Jobs 4.0. It's a website that helps workers over 40 find employment.
Statistically, it's taking older workers about 30% longer than younger workers to find a job now. While they have great skills at the job that they've done over the years, those skills don't extend to how to find a job.
Greenberg says many face discrimination, and that's getting worse as the economy deteriorates. Chris Calby says he sent out hundreds of resumes and been on about 10 interviews, but had no luck.
Whenever I go for the interviews, they go very well. I always think that I'm going to get the job. And most often, nearly every time, not only don't I get the job, but I don't even get a response.
Leaning back in his chair at the salon, Calby says that like so many people his age, he barely recognizes the business world anymore. In Boston, I'm Arun Roth for Marketplace.
Close to Home airs on Frontline tonight. The AARP launched a personal finance website today aimed at 20 and 30-somethings. The Retirement Association is hoping lifetuner.org will expand its brand reach. The site offers tools to help Gen X and Gen Y plan for retirement. Might not be a bad idea. The AARP says 70% of its members have given financial help to their adult children. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. And this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.